The Hoskins boys are going to be handing out some informational sheets of and one per family. Well, we got plenty, so whatever. But what I want to talk about, give you guys an update of what's going on in the missions for the summer of 2008. I'll kind of stall here a little bit while they get it handed out. But anyway, we've got some exciting things taking place in our missions, and God continues to bless us and to build it up and to raise up people that are willing to put their life on the line and serve the Lord in within the United States, within foreign countries, Lord. And it's a wonderful thing to see take place. And what I want you to do is on the very first page, you'll see summer plans for Liberty Missions. And there's a pretty detailed on international missions for a trip to Swaziland, the Grahams, Rob and Karen Graham and their family, and Hannah Vaughn, if she's able to go, will be going to Swaziland. This is a trip that goes over to an impoverished country. Swaziland is on the east coast of Africa, down south by South America, South Africa. And it's a very impoverished nation with a tremendous high AIDS rate. So there's a tremendous amount of children who are orphaned. And what this organization, 72, is supporting a orphanage over there. And they're going over to build some buildings in Swaziland. So it's kind of detailed there. If someone wants to go, give Rob or Karen Graham a call, and they'd be happy to help you in that. Also, the trip to Jamaica, which is with Joy FM, the McKnight family's going down on that. Remember that if you have some yard work or need something done, the McKnight boys are willing to come and do some of that work for you. And you can, they're trying to earn some money for their trip. So we've talked about that before. The other thing is, the next page is national and local missions. Cindy Kent and her two girls are working with Children's Evangelism Fellowship, which is out in Warrenton, which is just straight west of here. And they, what they're doing is they're going to be trained in Hannibal, Missouri, to hold backyard Bible studies here in the St. Charles area. And it's a great way to bring the Lord into an area that might not have the Lord at that time for young people. So that's also open to anybody who wants to help. I can't remember. You'd have to call Cindy and see when they're going to training, if you would like to join and have your children join in on this. It's a wonderful opportunity. Trip to Louisiana. We'd like to take another trip to Katrina down to New Orleans. I'm not capable in the summertime to get away from my work, and so consequently we're looking for a volunteer who would want to lead this trip down to New Orleans. And it's, the dates are pretty open. About the middle of June it starts opening up, and July and August is open as well. And don't worry about the heat. It's hot right now. It'll be hot into October. So it doesn't really matter when you go to New Orleans, except January and February, maybe. But it can be. In fact, we were down there in January one year, and it was 85 degrees. So, you know, it really doesn't matter in New Orleans. Voice of the Martyrs is the next one. The Voice of the Martyrs has a conference every 2 years. What they do is they bring in some of their international missionaries who are in countries who are not who are very hostile to Christianity, and that's what the Voice of the Martyrs supports, is missions within a country that is hostile. And so on June 27th, you might have a nice written note on your copy, or you might have my handwritten note. It has, we're going down, there's three couples or three families that are going right now down to that. It's a weekend of the 27th and the 28th of June. And what they do is they have a conference where, and I can't remember if it's like 10 or 14 international missionaries will come in and speak about their mission. And it's a quite a humbling conference to go visit. And so both the trip to Katrina and the VOM is a very inexpensive way of getting either your young people or your family involved into missions. Missionary news at the bottom. We have, we support indigenous missionaries in India. And one of the gentlemen, his middle name is Solomon. I can't pronounce the other two, so I apologize. But you have pictures of him, and he has gained his own support within his own country to his $30 a month, because that's what we support him. That's full support for them. And we support them. And we've got a new missionary called Anil Kumar Singh, I think is how you say that. And you also, on the next page, is a letter from one of our missionaries just explaining, it's front and back, just explaining what he does. And we get these periodically, and do we put these up on the web, Jim?
We're going to have Dave do that.
Dave, have you done that yet? Okay. So we'll put these up. We can't put their names or pictures on the website because obviously they're in hostile environments too. So the other thing about Voice of the Martyrs, I don't know if people get their newsletter. It's a free newsletter. It comes once a month, and it has some very great detailed information of this month's is about the north, the Bhutan area of Pakistan, which is northwest Pakistan and right on the border of Afghanistan. That's where Al-Qaeda is, and these people are on the rocks. We talked about the rocks talking, and that's what they were saying this morning. I was reading about it, that if these people are killed, the rocks will talk. And then the very last page is our new missionary. And it's got a little bio for him and a picture that you can put up on your refrigerator or wherever you want so that you can remember to pray for these people. Because, you know, we don't support them very much. I mean, Voice of the Martyrs, indigenous missionaries that we have two in Vietnam and one in Nigeria. We support them at $35 a month, and that's full support. We support the Indian missionaries at $30 a month, and that's full support. And so these people are in dire need of prayer. They've got their money, and prayer is what really supports them, and they will say that in all their newsletters. Now we have a wonderful opportunity to listen to a gentleman that I've known for, we were talking about that last night, I think 98 or 99 is when I first met Bill Hortzmeyer, and he actually brought his wife, builds him up a little bit, you know, Donna, and they're from Hannibal, Missouri. Bill is a missionary that takes trips to different parts of the world. I won't spoil any of your thunder, Bill. But Bill is going to come up and speak on what he does and also about missions in general. So I'd like you to give a round of applause for Bill Hortzmeyer.
Thank you, brother. Where's my water? Well, I'm going to ask you a question. Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Okay. I got a story. That's the reason I need this water. I got a story to tell you about this water. God does bless me. I'm usually, in fact, I refer to myself as the world's worst church member. I'm never in my home church. And they send the deacons down to get my tithe check, you know. So that's where I'm. But I travel a lot and fill pulpits a lot. And quite some time back, I was at this church in La Plata, Missouri, up in northeast Missouri. And I always like to sit in on Sunday school class, so they have Sunday school class. And when I was coming out of the class, one of the deacons walked up to me and said, "Brother Bill, you need anything?" I said, "Yeah, I need a glass of water." I said, "But whatever you do, don't bring me no pitcher of water." He said, "Why?" I said, "If you do, I'll preach for 2 hours." So I just laughed and went on. I couldn't do that, you know. But anyway, and usually I was greeting the people and stuff. And, you know, when they're singing, usually I'm praying. And the reason why I'm praying, because I'm praying that God will forgive me, because I don't want to disturb the person next to me with my singing, all right? So but again, I didn't pay much attention. So it come time, they introduce me, and I get up, walk up here to the pulpit, and here sits a communion glass full of water. So here is about an hour and 45 minutes. No, it's not that long either. But last night, we had a great service last night, and I just want to tell you all, you have an outstanding church. And I know what I'm talking about, because like I said, I'm in a lot of different churches. But you all have a sweet, sweet spirit here, and me and my wife both talked about this last night on the way out to the motel, and you know, it amazed me and her also of how much we heard about witnessing and soul winning. That's great. And missions. Because see, that's what it's all about. And it's until we get other churches like you all, we got a job ahead of us, really. So this morning, what I want to do, first of all, how many of you all have a Bible? How many of you have 5 Bibles? 10, you know? Well, just a little commercial here. Can I call that a commercial, Pastor? But anyway, on my Philippine trips, this will be my 17th trip to the Philippines. And about three or four trips back, God laid upon my heart to buy Bibles. I can buy these Bibles for $1.25 a piece since the dollar has dropped. They've went up 25 cents. But anyway, God laid upon my heart to buy Bibles. Because see, I have this thing in my heart is, because I'm, you know, what I am, let me tell you what I am. I am a seed sowing missionary evangelist. I just saw that this morning. You like that? Okay. Seed sowing evangelist missionary. And my thing is, or how God was touching my heart was, I didn't feel comfortable about going over there and leading literally hundreds of people to Christ and not giving them a Bible. You know, it's kind of like, you know, I was looking back here this morning, that little precious little baby, and it's kind of like bringing your baby home from a hospital, mamas, and put the babies down in the living room and said, okay, your farmer's in there and your parents are over there and I'll see you in 6 months. No. See, them people need the word. And so we had some problems with it first. I passed out some Bibles and I had to run down the open air market for something and the next day and I go down there and what are they doing? They're selling my Bibles. Kind of upsets me. I almost want to say, time out, God. Let me take care of this situation. You know? But again, so God has given us a plan. Now this plan is that every person we deal with, last year it was 7,400 that prayed to receive Christ. And every person we deal with, the plan of salvation is shared with them twice. And then they fill out a commitment card. And then after they fill out a commitment card, we give them a little copy of the book of John in the Gala language. And we tell them, now read this 5 times. And then fill out the questionnaire. There's 20 questions on a questionnaire. And then take this to the local pastors, because the pastors work with us. And they will give you a Bible. We did that last year. The reports I'm getting back now, that every church we have worked with so far over there that I've got reports on are running over every Sunday morning. The people are literally standing outside to hear the good news, the gospel. And not only that, you know, they're planting new churches. One church has planted 3, and I think another church has planted 2. So what I'm saying, brothers and sisters in Christ, here is what it's all about. The Word of God. I love in Isaiah 51:55, I got to look that up one of these days. You talk about the rocks crying out. It's in the same passage of scripture. But God's word says in Isaiah, my word will not return to me void. And I claim that promise. Now, if you'd like to be a part of this, you know, they're going to do something. But I just wanted to tell you what's happening. And God has truly blessed me. This will be my 17th trip there, and I don't know, I've been in Ukraine, I'm getting ready to go to Siberia, I've been in Honduras, and you know, I sat down and wrote it, figured it up one day. I've been in 34 different countries. Now, I didn't do mission work. Yes, I did, because I always take tracks with me, and I figure if I pass out a track, that's mission work. Does that qualify with you all? You know, but again, God has blessed me in this area. Why? I don't know. I stand amazed. I really do. I mean, there's not a day goes by that I don't praise God and thank God for what He's chosen to do in my life. And that's what's happening. And I praise God for this church, because I praise God for churches that has a mission mind. It bothers me to no end of how many churches, and I'm going to get a little negative here, of how many churches will spend millions of bucks to build a building. You know, and that's good, I guess. But you know, I'd much rather be expanding God's kingdom. And that's what you all are doing. That's what you're doing. So as you know, how much you say, $30 and $35 a month? Is there support? Man, that's worse than the Philippines. Over there, they get $250 a month, I think. But anyway, you know, God has opened these doors. And I worked for the Children's Home, Missouri Baptist Children's Home, for 6 years. And then I worked for Hamlin Greene's College for 3 years. That's after I came back from Georgia. And I was a money raiser, is what I was. In fact, many churches today, when I walk in the church, they say, grab your billfold, here comes Horsemire. You know, I don't know if that's a good or bad reputation, you know. But see, there's a hunger within me to do what I'm doing. And God opened the door for the Caleb Mountain Ministries. In fact, we're going back in either October or November, and I think I've already recruited four. Now, what are we going to do in October or November? On the Isle of Leyte, at Legazpi, we've already got 40 schools lined up in which we can go into. On the island of Iloilo, which will be the next week, we've got 40 plus schools to go into. Now what we do, now this time when I go over, I work with a medical team. And the medical team draws people in. 90% of the people that we work with the medical team, have never seen a doctor in their life. We'll get everywhere from $84,000 to $126,000 worth of pharmaceutical drugs that we take with us. So these people, we minister to them here. We draw them in. At the same time, we share the plan of salvation. Same time, we have backyard Bible club. No, we have vacation Bible school. And then at the night, what we do, we go out at night in the burials out in the mountains. If you're ever in the Philippines and you say, how far is it? And they say, not far. Get ready for a 3-hour drive. Yeah. Over roads that you cannot even believe. But see, and we go out and show movies in the Tagalog language every night, and we have a lot of people saved there. But see, all of these people that's being saved now are getting the Bibles, and they're getting in the church, and we're seeing God move in a mighty way. So, October will be going back, and what we do when we go into the schools is, we was working in the schools two years ago, honey? Matt and I was there, we were working in the schools. And we was working in the schools, and we was doing great. God was blessing us. We were seeing young people pray and receive Christ. And then a super typhoon came through. Anybody know what a super typhoon is? That's a level 5 hurricane. And I was right in the middle of it. Did it bother me? No, slept right through. So I get blown away. Praise God, I'm out here, right? So... But while we was in these schools, what we do, they show a movie on in third language. They show a movie on drugs and alcohol. And see, my name's Bill. I'm a grateful recovered, not recovering, a recovered alcoholic. So I know how to minister to these young people because I've been there. And I know what it's like, people. I don't know if we got any alcoholics here. If you are, let me talk to you afterwards. But I know what it's like to spend my whole paycheck and wake up the next morning, not a sore back, but a sore head where somebody beat me up or something. And looking down, I was in the airborne, looking down at my spit shine boots, and I puked all over my boots. Taking out my billfold, not having no money, and not getting paid for another 30 days. So I've been there and done that. So I share that with all of these students, that and a little bit more. And then I share the complete plan of salvation with them. And we see results from this. A lot of people say, are you sure they're all saved? You know, if anybody ever asks you that question, I'll guarantee you 100% that person has never led anybody to Christ. Here's what I tell them. I said, no, I'm not. But Jesus gave us a parable. Isn't it amazing how the parables always fit in? He gave us a parable. Sow the seed. Some will fall on what? Pathway, stony ground, thorns and thistles. But some falls on fertile soil. 25% of 7,000 ain't bad, is it? I praise God for that. So again, but that's what God's coming to be a seed sower. Now what I want to talk to you about this morning is a little about what it's like to do mission work. Now we have all kinds of mission work going on in the churches. Now here, you're all going down to Katrina, Louisiana. You said, Bill, you ever been on one of them trips? No way, Jose. Because I cannot draw a nail, I cannot saw a straight line. Only thing I can do is pick up trash. You know, I guess I could do that, you know. But anyway, you know, because that's not what God's called me to do. And I have nothing wrong with it. I praise God. I praise God you're doing it, because I heard a story last night that really made tears run down my cheeks. But see, we got all kinds of missionaries. We got missionaries that work here in the United States. You know, many, we got some in our church in Hannibal that goes out to, no, not someplace I can go, is that they go out in South Dakota to the Indians or someplace. And so see, mission work can be anywhere. But what is mission work? Mission work to me is sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care if you're sawing a board, driving a nail. I don't care if you're out there cleaning up something. I don't care if you're out there doing backyard Bible club. Whatever it is, missions to me is sharing the gospel of Jesus, wherever it might be. Now, foreign missions, it gets a little rougher. And, of course, I've been going quite a few times. I haven't got shot yet. And I haven't even been thrown in jail yet. You know, as I keep saying yet. But somebody asked me here a while back, said, Horsemeyer, said, what would you do if the Muslims captured you? I said, in 2 days, they'll turn me loose. I said, they'll probably turn me loose that first day to shut me up. But boy, they capture you, got a captive audience. And I said, the next day, they'll probably shoot me. And I'm just going to tell them, make sure you get a clean kill, because they don't want to go home wounded. You know, so again. And I'm just not saying that jokingly, people. I mean that. You know, and I'm giving God all the praise and glory. I think the greatest thing that happened to me is die serving the Lord. You know, so again, of course, at 75 years old, I'm already 5 years overdue. I should have been out here 5 years ago, according to the Word of God. You know, but again, when you go on mission trips, there's one thing that you will come up against that's very prevalent, and God has opened the doors. I'm doing a lot of teaching on this now. It's on witchcraft. Now, I don't teach witchcraft, so don't turn me off. Let me finish here, all right? But what I do, God's laid in my heart, is to go over and share with the people how to deal with witchcraft. Now, I'm going to use some terminology here that's I'm very familiar with. I'm very comfortable with it. See, there's no doubt in my mind, and I might be wrong. And when I get to heaven, I just have a feeling that Paul was either military or he hung around military a lot, because Paul uses a lot of military terms in his writing. So again, when I get to heaven, you know, I ask Paul, and if you don't, well, we won't go there. You know, so I'm going to be sharing military terms with you this morning, because see, it's a military, really. You remember when we was in Bible school, we used to say, I'm in the Lord's army now. I'm in the artillery, or whatever that is. I can't remember that. But see, we're in God's army. And I praise God I'm in God's army. See, I've got 13 years of military, hard military. I was in the Korean War. They never sent us over there because I was in the 82nd Airborne Division. And we always said if Truman sent us over there, we'd end that stupid war. We was kind of cocky. You know how you are when you're 17, 18 years old. But see, I was in an airborne for 3 years. I was in combat engineers for 10 years. So I am military to the core. I'm still military. So here's a term I want you to remember. We bring this term out of the Bible, and the term is called spiritual warfare. Brothers and sisters, it's real. It's as real can be. But see, I have another terminology for it. When you go on a mission trip, it is no longer spiritual warfare, it is spiritual combat. Now, the difference between spiritual warfare and spiritual combat is we're in war in Iraq. And by the way, next time you see a young man or young lady dressed up in a military uniform, go over and shake their hand and thank them for what they're doing. They need that, you know, and I do that. I'd love to do that in airports. But see, warfare is over there in Iraq. And we think of it that way. And we should think about it. We should pray for it every day. But combat is what? Front line soldiers. Now, when you go on mission trips, see, I might lose some people who wants to go with me. I want to say that when you go on mission trips, you're in spiritual combat. Now, we got a system that God has put together. And that system is that we, each person that goes, we have one person we email back to, group email, send it out. Because, see, we're always asking for prayer. And one time we was over there, and I'll tell you, it was the second time I went with this medical team. Yeah, second time. And we went in this town. And on Sunday, I mean, it just all caved in on us. And I knew there was something wrong. And so I told a person who was on the computer, I said, get on the computer, get back to the States and tell everybody to start praying for us. I said, we're not being harassed by the enemy, Satan. I said, we're right in the middle of his camp. And we were. And you could feel it. But also, how many times have you heard the missionaries say, you know, the best day that they have every year is when, on their birthday, when everybody's praying for them. And see, so again, everybody's praying for us. And we've seen God do a mighty work. God turn it around. Sunday was a disaster. The guy that was putting it together, really, I can't believe this, was a preacher. But he was the guy that was really giving us all the problem. And I won't preach on that, I promise you. But anyway, Sunday was a total failure. Everybody was going the wrong, and it's, you know, it's about 100 and probably 110 degrees where this place we're on, it's on a mountainside, and me and the one guy, we looked for about 2 hours for where we were supposed to preach before we finally ever found it. And that's just a part of it. But the following Monday, and what we did, we walked around the village and had prayer, and we do that all the time. But that following Monday, I was to go over and to see the mayor. Now, that's part of my job. When I get my teams working, doing what they're supposed to be doing, then they'll take me to see the mayors, the governors. A lot of times they take me to the jail, talk to, you know, on this. And, of course, no matter where I go, I'm sharing the plan of salvation. So they took me over to the mayor, and I led her to Christ. Because I ask a very simple question. And people, this works. In fact, Brother Gary's got some tracks. Your name's Gary, isn't it?
Greg,
okay, see? Short-term memory? Okay, okay. I ask everybody this question. What do you think it would take to get a person into heaven? People, it works. I've used it thousands and thousands of times. So I go in the mayor's office, you know, and they introduce me. It's a woman, and I said, Honorable Mayor, or something like that, and we're just kind of talking back and forth, and she's telling us she's glad that we bought our medical team there for her people. So she's excited, and I popped the question to her. I said, what do you think it takes to get a person into heaven? She didn't hesitate. She said, go into church. I said, don't work. Well, I'm not a bad person. I said, it don't work. And I do it in a nice voice. I really do. And so finally I said, I always say this. Can I take the Bible, God's Word, and show you what God's Word says? And a letter to Christ. She prayed and received the Lord Jesus Christ, her Savior. We get done, she said, Pastor Bill, everybody calls me Pastor Bill. Said, Pastor Bill, we're getting ready to have a flag-raising ceremony. Said, could you, you know, come and have a prayer with us? I said, never asked me to do that. You know, I said, sure. So I went down there, and I had walked down 3 flights of stairs, and where it was all outside, and we're walking down, and I said, Honorable Mayor, could I have a few more minutes beside the prayer? She said, you can have all the time you want to. Never tell me that either. So we went down there and went through the ceremony, and I prayed, and I asked the same question. What do you think it would take to get a person to heaven? And I shared with them my plan, where to come from, why I'm a sinner, and how to get rid of that sin so I can go to heaven. Shared the plan with them. 52 people, I think, was there. 44 of them prayed to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. When we got done, I heard this hollering. Come here, come here, come here. And I looked over there, and they didn't have a jail like we had. It was a dungeon. And this guy was in that dungeon. And I walked over and looked down. This guy, the tears are flowing. Filipinos don't cry. I mean, if you see a Filipino cry, you know they're really hurting. And he said, could I do that too? I said, praise God, you sure can. See. So what I'm saying is, we are dealing with our enemy. Now, being military, when I was in the 82nd Airborne, we was the highest paid killers in the United States Army. In fact, when I got out of service, I went down to the unemployment office in 1954, and then I went back to reserves. And that guy was interviewing me for a job, and he said, you're military? I said, yes, sir. He said, what did you do? I said, I killed people. And that's what I did do. I was qualified on every weapon we had, you know, how to kill them with my bare hands and not on other things I knew how to run. I said, I kill people. You know what he told me? He said, go to Chicago. We don't need you here. So again, with all this in mind, and God knew what he was doing because, see, he was planning me are getting me ready for spiritual combat. You know, I love combat. You say that's because you're military. No, I love combat, and I go to churches, a lot of different churches, and a lot of times I'll be sitting up here watching, and people will stand up and say victory in Jesus, and it looks like they've just been totally defeated. See, victory. I want victory. That's what I want. Now, the last few times I've been telling you, and I've been teaching on spiritual combat. I've been teaching on how to handle witchcraft. Brothers and sisters, it is a problem in the third world countries. It's a serious problem. And you have to learn how to combat it. So what I do, and I'm going to share this with you in just a moment, what I do, I go over and I train people on how to be ready for spiritual combat. When I was in the military, you had manuals. If you used an M1 rifle, you had a manual. Whatever it was, you had a manual. You read the manual, then you went through the training, and then so you had a manual. And see, this morning I'm telling you that we got a manual. There's the little one. And here's the big one. See, this here is a, I'll refer to this, I don't know how many here are military, but I don't know if I got to fire an M14, it wasn't out yet, but this here would be an M14. This one here is quad 50s, if you know what a quad 50 is. that's four 50 caliber machine guns shooting at the same time, and let me tell you something, very few people get past that one. See, but we got a manual, people. We got a manual. And God has told us how to handle these situations, you know. And let's just never forget, and I shared this, I think, last night. If God calls you to do something, He will prepare you. People say, I can't do that. What do you mean you can't do that? I'm not going to go on a long, lengthy. You're looking at one of the dumbest guys on the face of this earth. If you don't believe it, I can talk to you for an hour about that. But see, if God can call me and use me, He can use anybody. Yeah, I went through seminary. It took me 4 years to get a 3-year degree. I'm a doctor, Dr. Bill Horsmeyer. That is a DD degree. You know what that means? So, that's a doctor of divinity. No, that's a devil disturber degree. I think I like that one better. You know, so, but it don't mean a thing, you know. But see, one thing I do know, that God's word is God's word. If God said it, that's it. If it's a promise, there's thousands of promises in this word. And what we have to do, we got to hang on to these promises. And Paul did this. The book of Ephesians is a great book. Well, they're all great. But the book of Ephesians is telling us how to live. It's telling us to be happy and rejoice because we're saved. It's telling us, you know, how to treat our wives, how to treat our husbands, how to treat our children, how to treat people we work with. But then if you got your Bibles, turn me to Ephesians chapter 6. And people, this is my marching orders. I like that. I've never used that before. But this is my marching orders, and this is what God has showed us to do. Now again, with Paul being a military person or around military people, he's using military terminology here. Starting in verse 10. And I challenge you to memorize this passage of Scripture. I challenge you now, I'll challenge you later. Before you get out of bed every morning, do what this passage of Scripture says. Because your enemy out there, and my enemy out there, is trying to destroy us. Now let me tell you something. What did the devil use on Jesus? The Word of God. Misquoted it, but he still used it. See, so see, we're fighting an enemy that is very smart. Now people say to me, oh, Brother Bill, the devil don't bother me. I think you've already found out I'm kind of a little outspoken. I said, no wonder you ain't doing nothing. Why should he bother you, see? He said, does the devil bother you? I hope to tell you. But see, he can't penetrate what I've got here. The Word of God. And God promised me that he'd watch over and protect me, take care of me. Now, Paul is talking, he's closing out the book of Ephesians, and he says in verse 10, he said, finally, my brethren, let's just stop right there. Who's he talking to? He's not talking to the Pharisees or the Sadducees or the organized church of that day. He said, finally, my brother, that's me, and that's you. He said, don't say sisters. That's a, you know, we won't get there. Just pow, shoot that rabbit, Bill. You know, but that means all of us that are born again believers. Finally, my brother, and I like this, be strong in the Lord. I know I'm going to praise you here again. I praise God for the power I feel in His church. I do. He said, how do you know that? God gave me two ears and one mouth. Now, I don't use it that way, but I listen a lot. I listen a lot, but I talk a lot too. But see, we see something here that's very important. He said, be strong in the Lord. See, I was raised when I was a kid and all this other stuff. You know, when I was in the military, I wanted to be the best there was. The best there was in being strong. Do you have any idea what it's like to walk 33 miles carrying a full field pack and a water-cooled 30 caliber machine gun? I was strong. But we don't have time for that story either. And then he says, in the power of his might. Whose power? His power. God said, the power is yours. Acts 1:8, I talked on that last night. Said, and ye shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you to be witnesses unto me, Jesus, unto Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the other most parts of the world. Don't say you can't do it. Well, you pray, maybe you can't do it, but you and God can. So are you sure? No, I'm not sure. I'm positive. I'm positive. Look what Jesus chose when he was here. Did he choose the intellectual? No, he didn't do that. Who did he choose? He chose fishermen. You know what a fisherman was? He was one step higher than a shepherd, I think. You know, I mean, in other words, you know, they're not the smartest guys in the world. But God chose them, and Jesus trained them for 3.5 years, and them 11, and one of them 12 was bad, and them 11 literally turned the world upside down. Why? Because they was depending upon the power of God. I shared last night, I won't have time this morning, but I shared last night how we see miracles happen. It amazes me how many Christians today, they think God's out of the miracle business. I can't find that in my Bible. Can anybody find that in your Bible? Doesn't say Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Hey, if he did it for them, why don't he do it for us? You know, I haven't walked on water yet, you know, but I've thought about it a couple of times. <You know? laughs> Like we was coming in from this island one day, and this after a typhoon, and I looked over the back of the boat, and here come this cloud. I mean, this cloud. You know what the first thing I thought of was Elijah up on the mountain and said, there's a cloud about the size of a hands of man. Here come this cloud, and it's catching up with us. I told the guy that I said, we need to go faster. He said, we're wide open. Now, the typhoon had wiped out all electricity. Have you ever been in a place where there's no electricity and out in the ocean, middle of nowhere, 30 miles away from land? Boy, it's dark, dark, dark. So I turned to Paul Lewis. Some of you all know Paul Lewis. Some of them did. Paul goes with it. I turned to Paul, and we just seen God do some miracles on this island. I said, Paul said, I think we need to pray in. Because this thing was called a, what's it called?
Squall.
Thank you, brother. Because it was catching up with us. I think we need to pray that God let us walk on water. We're under this great big old tar field. And Paul looks all around. He said, where would we go? I said, good answer. But you know what? We did pray. And we made it into the next island. And that guy was no lights whatsoever. Nothing to go by. Of course, the squall was dark, pitch, pitch dark. And he came in within 25 feet of where we were supposed to come in. Miracle, see. So we see God do these things. And he's still doing this. And that's what excites me about doing mission work. Now, be strong in the Lord. In the power of his might. Then he tells us, verse 11, put on. Put on. It don't say hanging up in the closet. It don't say leave it at home. You know, it don't say take it to church with you on Sunday morning. It says put it on. And I'm no Greek scholar, but I think that's a parable. No, not a parable, a perfect tense or something like that. But anyway, put on the whole armor of God. Every piece of it. You know, sometimes our problem is we'll put on the helmet of salvation and that's it. Yeah, we know we're saved. And we walk out there in the world and the old devil looks at us. Ha, ha, ha. Am I going to have fun with you today? But we'll go through that in a second. Put on the whole armor of God. Now here's one word I want you to underline in your Bibles. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. See, God's word teaches us, brothers and sisters in Christ, to stand. God wants us to stand for what we believe in. What do we believe in? That there's only one way to heaven, and that's through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. And we need to stand on that. And I don't know about down here, but I know that we're getting a multitude of people that's being pulled away from what the original Word of God said, which means to stand for what you know. You know what you know and stand what you know and know what the Bible says. Is stand against the what? The wiles of the devil, which is the trickery of the devil. He don't play fair. He never has and he never will. And if he's bold enough to attack the child, the Son of God, look out. You know, he's going to attack us. But see, that's not the end of the story, so just hang on. Then he says, for we wrestle not against the flesh and the blood, but against principalities, against power, against the ruler of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And that's not the presidency. <laughs> You know? <laughs> Just see him still awake out there. All right. Who is it? It's the devil. It's our enemy. And he'll be around until one day, praise God, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to throw him in the lake of fire. And let me tell you something. If you're anywhere close to me, you better get about 10 light years away, because I'm going to have me a hallelujah, shouting praise God fit when they get rid of that rascal. Okay, now. Then he says, verse 13, wherefore, take unto you the what? The whole armor. There that is again. Have you ever noticed when Scripture repeats itself, it means something to people. It means to take notice. Take notice, see. Now, put on and have the whole armor that you may be able to what? Withstand. There's that word again. In the evil days, and having done all to stand. What's he doing here? He's promising us what is available to us. And that's the reason why we got the manual. That's the reason we have to train ourselves. Then he says that word again. Stand, therefore, having your loins girded with the truth. Who's the truth, people? Who? Can't hear you? There you go. Praise God. Have your loins girded with the truth. And we'll give you a demonstration on that in a little bit too. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. Who is our righteousness? Jesus. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Who's our peace? Jesus. And above all, take the shield of faith. Where do we get our faith from? Jesus. Wherewith you shall promise. Wherewith you shall be able. I lost my place. Shield of faith. Wherewith you shall be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked. Darts. The devil don't fight fair. You know, if he would come at us with a sword or a bow and arrow, or a rifle or something like that, we'd recognize it. But he takes them little darts. How many times have you ever been praying? I mean, you're really caught up in a prayer time with God. You're his worshiping and praying and having a great time. And all of a sudden, phew, something goes through your mind. And says, where'd that come from? Usually what it is. Usually what it is. It's something that you did 20 years ago. And you said, God, forgive me. And if God would speak to you, he said, what are you talking about? I've already done that. You know, once, okay. But see, he works on our mind. And you know, we sit there and watch that stupid bloob tube, and I get upset with myself for doing this, and all this stuff is going through our mind, you know. Okay, that you may be able to quench how many? All of the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation. Who's our salvation? Jesus. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now that's getting ready for spiritual combat. Now when you do this, you can actually, and I do this, and I'm just a little bit bold, just a little bit, but I do this. Okay, let me tell you how I do it. The very first moment I become awake in the morning, I present my body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, which is my reasonable service. Help me not to be conformed to this world by the renewing of mind, or something like that. Yeah, that's the way it goes. And then I put on my armor, piece by piece. I put on the girdle of truth, breastplate of righteousness, helmet of salvation, sword of the word, shield of faith, shod my feet up the gospel of peace. Now, that's not the way the Scripture's got it in line, but it doesn't make no difference. I got it on. I got on my armor. Then I am ready for combat. And I am a combat soldier in the army of God. Now see, when I was a child, World War II broke out. And I everything I could get a hold of, World War II. I still read a lot about World War II. And I remember the day that Germany surrendered. I was working on a hay baler for a neighbor, and he had a boy that was in Japan, in the Pacific. And we went to eat lunch, and then we back out baling, and the hauling in crew came by and said, Germany has surrendered. And I still remember this day, Wilson Moseley was driving the tractor. He turned off the tractor, an old beat-up tractor, went down, and the hay baler had a V4 Wisconsin engine. He kicked off the engine, and the guy that owned the hay field was in on the hay truck, hauling in truck. He said, Wilson, what are you doing? I said, I'm taking my crew, and we're going to go to town, and we're going to celebrate. He said, what about my hay? He said, there's a tractor, there's a hay baler, help yourself. You know. But we went to town, and I mean the people were celebrating. Why? Because glory to God, we had victory. It was something to celebrate about. And see, that victory is nothing compared to the victory that we as God's children have. But it's a time to celebrate. I said, oh, I'm going to do that and get to heaven. Well, I want to get some training in before I get there. How about you? Okay. Because they, we had this victory. And it's so great. And of course, then the Japanese war was over too. But again, you know, the thing is victory. I love victory. I love power. I love the infilling of the Holy Spirit of God. And, you know, my thing is, I'm just going to go maybe a little bit out here. No, I'm not going to left field. I'm just going to go right down the center of the road. My thing is, on being filled with the Holy Spirit of God, is to be what Acts 1:8 says, to be witnesses. To be witnesses. And I praise God that He does it. Okay, let's go on. And it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all preservation and supplication of all saints. Praying. Now I'm going to share with you in closing my interpretation of putting on the armor of God. And I'm going to stand down here so you can see me better. Can you hear me? Can you see me? Well, if you can't see me, go to your doctor and get some new glasses. Okay. Now, the girdle of truth. Now, the Roman soldier wore a robe. And the girdle of truth was around the middle. How many military guys I have in here? Any military guys? Well, I need to do some recruiting. This praise God. Okay. You got what we call the utility belt when I was in. It's also called the pistol belt. And you got your pistol hanging on it if you're lucky enough to have one. You got your bayonet on it. You got your first aid pack on it. You got your earplugs on it. And you got all these things. You got your pack. Your pack comes out, hooks on this. This one piece of equipment called the pistol belt or the utility belt. And that's the same thing as the girdle of truth. Now what that soldier does when he gets ready to go into combat, the first thing he do, because he's wearing his robe, he'll reach in behind him and he'll pull that robe up and stick it down into the girdle, because you don't want anything around your legs when you're in combat. So then after he does that, he gets ready for combat. And I'm going to take these a little bit out of order so we can kind of understand a little bit better. What he does then, a Roman soldier has two pairs of sandals, one for walking, one for combat. The combat sandal is got spikes 3 to 4 inches long. And what he does, he'll take that thing and they get ready to combat. Usually the enemy's about as far as that guy's back there. You're not my enemy, praise God, you're my friends back there. But anyway, it's about that far back, you know. And what they'll do, they'll take this foot, and that means to stand. You don't move. You don't run. Because if you run, you're in trouble. So you do that. Now, you have on this armor. You have on the breastplate of righteousness. What is that? That covers the heart, the lungs, the kidneys. It's front and back, so it covers the vital parts. Now see, let me share this one thing here. I'll share it again a little bit later. This armor is made for you. You cannot wear anybody else's armor. So you put on your breastplate of righteousness. And then you take the sword. Now that sword is made for you. I mean, that sword fits your hand. And that sword is made for combat. Now the Jews were they're still the greatest warriors that ever was, as far as I'm concerned. And they would shine that sword, sit around and shine. I mean, it was very brilliant. The enemy's back there, and the sun is behind their back. He said, well, that's a dumb way to fight a war, to fight against something. No. What they would do, they would take that sword and they would look at their enemy and they'd take that thing and hold it up there and flash it like that. Now what's it doing? They're getting the sun from back there, flashing all that sword into their eyes, but also they're putting fear in the enemy's heart. So you take the sword and then you take the shield of faith. Now that shield is made for you also. This for you. You got two shields. They had a little shield, then they had the big combat shield. So you take that shield, and what they would do is they'd squat down behind that shield, looking over the top of it, with this sword out here, flashing it back and forth like that, getting their attention. Now, while they're down behind that shield, the only thing that enemy sees is the helmet, which is our salvation. Now, in the military, we all had different colors. I had blue because I was infantry. Artillery had red because it's artillery. Cavalry had yellow because it's cavalry. And see, so today, the red plume, if you've seen the helmets, they had some of them have different colored plumes. The red plume meant one thing, that you was a trained combat soldier. And that enemy would look over there and see that. See that helmet. And you had your feet placed. Everything on. Shield of faith to quench the darts. And you're now ready for combat. And brothers and sisters, that's when victory comes. That's when victory comes. That's when we as God's children can stand and sing from the bottom of our hearts, victory in Jesus. Some people interpret that as being victory when we're out of here. Yes, that's good. But see, I want victory now. And that's really why God has called me to the mission field. That's really why God has instilled in me this desire to go. Now, the thing about this army that I'm talking about is, you know, there wasn't a Baptist standing here and a Christian stand here and Assembly of God or stand here and somebody, you know. No, it's all the same army. I tell every one of my teams, and I'll tell them right before we land, I said, okay. I said, now when the wheels of that aircraft hits this runway, you're no longer a Baptist, Christian, Assembly of God. You're here for one thing, and that's to sow the seed and expand the kingdom of God. Now, brother, we're seeing God move and move and move and move. And once they get saved, you know, we get them in churches where they get trained by the Word of God. But see, what I'm sharing with you this morning, I don't want to scare you. I hope I didn't. But I want to let you know that it's exciting being in God's army. It's exciting to see God defeat our enemy. It's exciting to go into places. We went in this one place, and I guarantee the moment that it was on another island, the moment that we come around the corner, the bend up there, I mean, you could feel the presence of evil. But that didn't stop us. We went in there. And I was told, I said, now, Bill, the mayor here is going to be a very hard cookie to crack. I said, I shared with him, and he looked out the window, wouldn't even listen to me. So we get there, and the very first thing I do while the team's unloading, I said, could you tell me where the mayor lives? Well, he lives up there, but he's over at Cebu today, and I don't know if he'd be back. So we went ahead about our business, and about 2 hours later, this guy come up and said, hey, Pastor Bill, said the mayor's home. And I almost said, really? I really didn't, because the person who talked to him was an awesome soul winner, and I didn't know if I wanted to go up there or not. So I went up there, and beautiful house. Everybody else lived in a shack. I mean, he's got a house with mahogany furniture and all this, that, and everything there. And I went up, and I sat down, you know, and they introduced me. The guy that took me up there introduced me, said, this is Pastor Bill Horsemeyer. He's from the States, and they're over here doing the medical clean. See, the mayor had us in to do the medical clinic. See how it works? And I sat there, and I said, got a beautiful home here. Yeah, yeah. I said, could I ask you one question? He said, ask away. He's feeling pretty cocky, you know. He's the mayor. I'm the peon. I said, Mayor, what do you think it'd take to get a person into heaven? He didn't have the foggiest. He didn't say being a church member. He didn't say being good. He didn't say, he said, I really don't know. I said, do you want to go? He said, can I? Well, I love him like that. I'll tell you what. So I took him through the plan of salvation. And he prayed and received Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, people, this building's probably, I don't know, maybe 600-700 people, a small village. But that went out through that village like wildfire. Guess what? The mayor's a Christian. The mayor got saved. Now, what did that do for us? That opened up the door, see. I could put on this helmet, put on the armor of fear, but I didn't, see. And I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on my Jesus. And see, you know what happened? When this guy came up and told me, he said, the mayor's here, some of the VBS workers are over here. I just walked over to him and I said, hey, the mayor's here and I'm going to see him. What do you think they did? They started praying. See, they was my rear echelon. And we see things like that happen all the time. That's the reason I get, you know, there used to be a time, every time I left the Philippines, you know, I'd say, God, I'm not coming back over here. That's it. No more. But see, God's changed that. And God just keeps taking me back and back and back. Why? Because he knows my heart. I love the people. And I just love what I'm doing. In fact, really, brothers and sisters, I'm happier now than I've ever been in my life. Now, if I could just find out some way to plan these trips that would drive me about half crazy, I wouldn't have it made, you know. But again, it always comes together. And I'm here this morning to share with you, or ask you, has God ever touched your heart to be part of the mission team here at this church? This is awesome what you've got. My home church, Calvary Baptist Church in Hannibal, we have a missions director also. By the way, they pay him $40,000 a year. They pay me that much? Okay. No, they don't. I've never seen a preacher yet who got $40,000 a year. I never did. But anyway, you know, there's some churches that are starting to catch on fire. And they're going. And that's what we need. The fields are white under the harvest, but the laborers are few. And Jesus said what he said in another passage. He says, pray to the master of the harvest. And God is working in a mighty way. And I am going to be on God's side. Because that's where God wants me. Now, where are you at? You know, has God touched your heart this morning? Last night, when I finished up, this little girl, adopted from India, 10 years old, come up to me and hand me 45 cents. She said, I want to help you. And then she wrote me a letter. You know what that letter's going to be? It's going to be in a frame sitting on my desk. It says, God wants me to be a missionary. Oh, beautiful letter. You know, I just praise God for it. And here's what I told her. I said, she said she's 10. Was it 10 or 8? I forget. Anyway. Well, yeah, I think she was 8. And I said, well, in 10 years, you'll be able to go to the mission field. And I hope I'm still alive and I can take you with me. She said, that's what I want to do. I'm going to go with you. You know, so he said, oh, she's just a kid. She's not knowing what she does. Yes, she does, people. And I'll guarantee you, being from India, I've never been to India because that might be the open door to see. Them kind of things touch my heart. And see, God is still in the business of calling people into his army. In closing, God's army is 100% voluntarily. He never drafts anywhere. Pastor, I'm done. I'll turn it over to you. What? Ain't you the pastor? Where's the pastor at around here? There he is back there. Okay. Boy, I got you mixed up with somebody, brother. And that's normal. Okay. I'll take my Bible off here because he liked to took it last night.
God bless you.
I know you well.
We appreciate your work around the world. Amen. Why don't we stand together? We're going to close with worship, but we want to bless Brother Hortzmeyer and others with a donation for missions. We're going to pass the plate. We want to take a love offering for his work and possibly for some other missions that we'll be doing this summer. So I need a couple guys to come forward. Yes.
100% of what you all took up last night and are taking up this morning will go to purchase Bibles.
Purchase Bibles.
Yes.
Great.
Yeah. Okay.
Excellent.
I don't know if I said that last night or not, Pastor.
So as the worship team closes, we're going to pass the plates and take an offering. But let me say a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this morning, the opportunity to worship you, Lord, to fellowship with you in prayer. We thank you for the power of your gospel. Those of us here that know you have experienced that power, and I pray, Lord, that we would be confident and bold in our testimony to those in our communities, our schools, our workplaces, and we'd be sharing the gospel both here at home and abroad. We pray your blessing on Brother Hortzmeyer as well as on Nancy Bond. We think of Sarah Benson, Lord, and others that we're supporting. We ask your blessing and protection on them. Make them strong in your power. Lord, we pray for any trips we might conduct this summer. We pray that we'd see much fruit from the preaching of your word. We pray in Jesus' name.